بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأفوض أمري إلى الله، إن الله بصير بالعباد. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو أنكم تتوكلون على الله حق توكله لرزقكم كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, mothers and sisters who are present, and those who may be listening over streaming, last week we had commenced the discussion on what we term as tafweed or tafweez. In Urdu they say tafweez, in Arabic tafweed, which basically means that an individual, a banda, a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then part of that title of being the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that he or she submits himself or herself to the will and to the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khaja Azizul Hasan Madzub rahmatullah alayhi, who was the Khalifa Ajal, or was it Tanvi Rahmatullah used to say, "Tu barai bandagi hai yaad rakh," that remember, you have been created for the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In poetic form used to say, "Tu barai bandagi hai yaad rakh," and this is derived from the verse of the Quran Majid, "Wama khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only created man and jinn for the abdiyat and the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that also requires a discussion and understanding, that what is a servant? How do we understand what is a servant? So in those days, they had slavery. Slavery was in vogue. They used to have a marketplace where they would sell these ghulams and these slaves. And a person would purchase the slave, and the slave would become one's property for life. To such an extent that if the person passed away, then the heirs would inherit that slave. It would go into the estate. And the person would inherit. It was like a commodity, like how when somebody passes away, then he or she leaves behind everything that they had acquired, had worked so hard. They acquired it. This is a topic for discussion, but anyway, it's coming to mind. That the person worked for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and then when he reached 55 or sometimes maybe 50 or sometimes 58, then he manages to pay off his house. So 58 now, he paid off his house. And 62, he passes away. Haven't we seen this? Sometimes the person is just managed to secure that deal, and he decides to do renovations. Whilst doing the renovations, he passes away. So many incidents of this nature. In the midst of that renovations, he passed away. So he was 58. You know, he paid off the house at 58. He lived till he was 62. And that too, the last 2 years, he was up in and out of the hospital, spending more time on the hospital bed instead of the bed of that house which he purchased. Incidents like this. The person didn't really enjoy that house. But then what happens afterwards? That house then goes into the estate, and now the children start, if mashallah, if they had deen in their lives, then it was a simple matter. It was a very easy and simple matter. To wind up the estate would have been so simple if only the heirs had some fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some Allah consciousness. But because today we find that the unfortunately, the fear of Allah Ta'ala is not present. That the person doesn't have that concern that on the day of judgment I'll have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will ask, how will I answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So then the person doesn't have that fear of Allah Ta'ala. So now what happens is the person's desire overwhelms him. And so if the estate has to be passed based on the courts and he or she will get a bigger share, then they will stand up and say, no. We got to stand by the law of the land. And if on the other hand, the person can get a larger share by making sure that the estate goes according to Sharia, then the person will say, no, must. We must uphold the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the reality is not that the person is concerned about the hukam of Allah. He's worried about, he or she is worried about how they get a bigger share, get more. Greed has overwhelmed people. I had one student of ours is telling me, Maulana, you know, the grandfather passed away and he left behind, mashallah, a large estate. And there were so many brothers, and they just couldn't wind up that estate. Fights to such an extent that some of those brothers, some of those children, they too passed away. So now it became more complex because, let alone having the children, now you have the grandchildren are involved. He said, well, my father said, you know what, let's have a meeting and finish this thing off and finalize things. He said, at the meeting, they're all sitting. Now imagine brothers are sitting there and next thing a fight starts. He said, the one uncle took the tea, he was holding the tea, he took that tea cup and saucer and he threw it at the other. He said, the nephew stood up and they got hit with that cup and saucer and smashed on the floor and everything. He said, I'm just watching. These are my uncles. And this is how they, and they all, mashallah, alhamdulillah, they all got sufficient wealth. They all got enough wealth. But they're fighting for that more. I must get more. I was more entitled to it. Where were you? You were nowhere in the picture. Now suddenly you want to. And this fight starts. Finish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these kind of things. And one incident flashes to the mind of Isa ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, that there was one person who approached Hazrat Isa alayhi salam and said, I want to spend some time in your company and your sohbat, you know, learn something from you. So he started traveling with Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and whilst traveling, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam now produced or purchased 3 loaves of bread. Isa alayhi salam said, that's one loaf of bread is for you, and one loaf is for myself. So immediately this person was suffering from the disease of greed. He said, who's the third loaf for? That third loaf there, who's that loaf for? So I said, no, don't worry about that third loaf. You got your loaf, I got mine, so just keep that one. Isa alayhi salam told him that just wait a little while, I've got some work to attend to, I'll return back. When Isa alayhi salam returned back, he found that that one loaf that had been left behind was gone. So he asked him, brother, what happened to that one loaf of bread? So obviously he had consumed it, he had devoured it. But he said, he decided to speak a lie. He said, I don't know what happened to it. Isa alayhi salam again asked him the question, that again I'm asking you, what happened to that third loaf of bread? He knew, Allah Ta'ala sent wahi to him. He said, I don't know. And as they continued, slowly but surely, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam began showing him miracle after miracle after miracle. And this person became amazed each time Hazrat Isa alayhi salam again asked him that who took that third loaf of bread? Until finally, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam took 3 pieces of stone. And with the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he turned those 3 rocks into nuggets of gold. So now there were 3 nuggets of gold. So Isa alayhi salam said, this one nugget of gold is for you. One nugget of gold is for myself. Immediately this person asked, who's the third nugget of gold? So Isa alayhi salam said, the third nugget of gold is for the person who ate the third loaf of bread. Immediately said, I ate it. I ate the third loaf. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam said, that I had requested you so many times to speak the truth, but you did not speak the truth. And now suddenly you speak the truth because of your greed. Definitely you are not suitable to be in my company. So take all three nuggets of gold, but you move your way. This person was elated. He was over the moon. That let alone one nugget of gold, you know, is a killing. He's three nuggets of gold he's got. Hit the jackpot, as they say. And now he's got three nuggets of gold. Now, as he moved on, those days when they would travel, there would also be dangers, there would be highway robberies, etc. He was confronted by a group of criminals. They immediately confronted him. They saw what he had. They didn't waste any time. They killed him. And now they got the three nuggets of gold. Now it's three of them. So now they are more than excited. They too hit a big jackpot here. So they said, you know, we don't even need to work any longer. Next 2-3 months we sorted. So we need to celebrate. Nice and hungry. We need to celebrate over this. So immediately the one said, don't worry, I'll go to the nearest town and I'll get some food for you. So they were excited. So he went. So as he left, the two of them are sitting and say, you know, there's three of us here. We're all going to get one nugget of gold. But if we can remove him from the equation, now that he's gone, if we can remove him from the equation, then we are dividing three between the two of us. So they decided that as soon as this person comes back with the food, they're going to send him off, if you know what I'm saying. In the meantime, this person thought to himself, as he's returning, all of them had greed. He said, you know, there's three nuggets of gold. I can get all three. So he decided that he's going to send them off. So he, in the town, he ate nicely, and then he laced the food with poison. As soon as he arrived, they didn't waste any time. They dispatched him. Now, they were very, very excited that now there's three nuggets of gold for the two of them. So they decided now we need to, you know, after all of this hard effort and work and planning and strategizing, we need to, stomach also needs to be fulfilled. So they sat down and they started enjoying and relishing the food. And then the effect of the poison overwhelmed them and they too collapsed and died. Little while later, Isa alayhi salam passed by. And he sees these four corpses lying on the floor. That person who he gave the three nuggets of gold, he's dead on the floor. And another three individuals are lying and he sees the nuggets of gold. And then he says something to this effect, that this is what happens to that person who runs after this world. This is what this world does to him. And this is the effect of greed. So Allah Ta'ala protect us. It is a disease. It is a disease that the person has so much, but he wants more. She wants more. She wants more. Nothing will fulfill that desire and that greed except the soil of the grave, the sand of the grave. وَلَيْ يَمْلَ أَفَاهُ إِلَّا التُّرَابِ Nabi Kareem Sallallahu said, nothing will fulfill the greed of Adam, the children of Ibn Adam, the children of Adam alayhi salam, except the soil of the grave. Nabi Sallallahu said in this hadith that if the son of Adam alayhi salam had one valley of gold, he will desire two valleys. And he'll desire more and more. If he's got two, he'll desire three. The person has one shop, he wants two. He's got two shops, he doesn't even have four. And you look at that person who's got 10. And the person carries on and carries on racing and chasing and racing and chasing. And in the process, what happens? The person forgets everything. So again, we are not saying we must balance things out. We are not saying that a person cannot have two homes or he cannot have four stores or four shops. But so long as that doesn't become, you know, intoxicate the person, engage the person to such an extent that he or she becomes oblivious of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the true goal and objective for which we've been sent into this world. Otherwise, if you look at some of the wealth of the Sahaba ikram, it's unbelievable. There were certain Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an, and another extremely wealthy Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the name slips the mind. Yeah, he had such wealth. Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, such wealth he had, and one incident is mentioned, that when his caravans of import and export goods, when they were reaching Madinatul Munawwara, there would be loads, that each camel was laden with goods and stock and items. Then the first group of camels, when they were entering Madinatul Munawwara, then the last animals were still leaving Syria, inshallah. That's the kind of wealth he had. One occasion they heard of like an earthquake in Madinatul Munawwara. I said, what is that? He said, that is the goods and the stocks that are being delivered. Of Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. Allah gave him such phenomenal wealth. But yet it didn't divert him from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It meant absolutely nothing. Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, what wealth he had, incident of Tabuk, when he gave so much of camels and horses. Yet imagine, the person has got the wealth. Sometimes you say the person is millions, a millionaire. And then he goes and he gives a whole lot of vehicles to all the masajid and the madaris, and one by one he starts dishing out. We'll say the person has got so much of, Allah has given him wealth, but he's also got such a large heart. He just gives and he gives and he gives. That's how the Sahaba Ikiram were. So Allah Ta'ala then also gave them more. But their hearts were never attached to it. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ. Allah Ta'ala says the Sahaba Ikiram were men. Men in the true sense of the word. That لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةُ وَلَا بَيْعٌ. That their buying and selling did not divert them from the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, from the establishment of salah, from the discharging of their zakah. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا. They feared the day of judgment. تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. That day of judgment in which hearts will be turned upside down and eyes will be rolling out of fear that I have to face Allah Ta'ala. That the day of judgment was always in front of them. So even whilst they were doing business, they were fearful that I have to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will be answerable to Allah ta'ala. So it didn't stop them. It didn't stifle them from growing. So we're not saying that we're not allowed to grow. But here we're talking about growth, where the person is growing just because of greed. He wants more, more. It's not satisfied with what he has. So mashallah, there are many examples. Otherwise, sometimes we hear these bayans and we say, chalo, let's shut the business down. Let's open one small stall in the street corner and carry on. It's not what we're saying. Islam encourages us to develop, to progress. The Sahaba Ikram progressed to such an extent a few years ago when we went to Madinatul Munawwara. So somebody showed us the waqf, a waqf which was started by Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Waqf meaning a person starts some sort of legacy where he starts contributing to some sort of income-generating project. And the income from that project goes towards deen. It goes towards some deeni activities. So this waqf was started by Uthman radiallahu anhu, and today the value of that waqf goes into the billion US dollars. From there, there's so much of relief work that takes place in Africa. Different countries, so many masajid are being run all overseas throughout the world. And all of that, the thawab and the rewards of all of that is going to Hazrat Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu had started. So can we imagine what a investment that was, investment in the hereafter. So Islam does not discourage us from progressing, and we must progress. But remember, the qibla and the direction of the heart must always be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So coming back to what we said, that Isa alayhi salam, when he saw this was greed, absolute greed. Now imagine, he had one nugget of gold. Had he been satisfied, Allah would have blessed him. That one nugget of gold would have blessed him in his life. He would have lived perhaps a long life. But because of greed, finish. Everything, all over. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So the person who has got fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it would have been, the distribution of that estate would have been such a simple matter, such an easy matter. The provided all the relatives and family members had the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes you'll find one or two relatives have got the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Unfortunately, it's not possible. We had one student in the madrasa. One of the parents had passed away. And the documents were all signed by that particular parent, everything. And another relative came in and forged all the documents. And this poor child was left with hardly anything. So this is what happens just for the sake of greed. The person does these things to deprive others of their rightful share based on the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So nevertheless, coming back to the topic of discussion, which was meant to have been resigning our will to the will of Allah ta'ala, but we also here resign our will to the will of Allah ta'ala, that though we intended to speak on a particular topic, but sometimes Allah ta'ala put certain things in the minds at a particular moment in a time, and there must be some good reason and valid reason for that. So we resign our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, if Allah ta'ala gives life and the opportunity, we'll discuss it inshallah in more detail in the next majlis. But suffice to say, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that quality, beautiful quality of keeping our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though we are involved in the activities of this world. When a person has got his direction right, then he'll reach his objective, he'll reach his goal. If a person is traveling from here to Johannesburg, and he makes sure that he keeps onto the, you know, the GPS, the map that is there, he keeps onto the route. So here and there he'll stop on the side, he'll eat, go to stop at one place, stop at another place, stop at this place. But he keeps on getting back on track, getting back on track. Eventually, the person will reach his destination. So in the same way, we must not allow our businesses and our activities in this world to divert us from our real, true goal and objective. And that is to be the servants and the bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we were trying to talk about what is a true servant of Allah ta'ala, but inshallah, we will continue with this next week if Allah Ta'ala gives life and the opportunity. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We make some zikr inshallah. Recite Durood Sharif.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله الله Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allahumma lakal hamdu kulluhu wa lakal shukru kulluhu. Allahumma la nuhsi thana'an alayka anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. يا أحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. اللهم يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. وكريم الله رحيم الله most forgiving loving caring Allah. Ya Allah forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah forgive our major sins, our minor sins. Ya Allah those sins which you committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. Allah, you have granted us the tawfiq to gather here tonight, Ya Allah. Let it be a means of changing the directions of our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. But Ya Allah, let this world not deceive us, Ya Allah. Let not the temporary glitter and glamour of this world deceive us, Ya Allah. For after all, we will leave everything behind, Ya Allah. That beautiful vehicle, those beautiful watches, and that cell phone, and that property, that business, and those beautiful clothing, and all that jewelry will be left behind, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we will only go, Ya Allah, with our kafan and nothing else, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the property, the wealth will all be passed on to our heirs, Ya Allah. We will take only our a'mal, our deeds only will accompany us, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us that realization, Ya Allah. That just as we have to grow our businesses and our portfolios and our investments in this world, more importantly, we need to grow our portfolios and our investments in the hereafter, Ya Allah. For after all, the currency of the hereafter is a'mal saliha, good deeds, Ya Allah. Allah, we think about Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, that he had been blessed with such wealth in this world. But oh Allah, what kind of wealth in the hereafter he has, Ya Allah. That in Madinatul Munawwara, the first well that was purchased on behalf of the Muslims, from which thousands of Sahaba-i-Kiram, my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, would drink water and make his wudu and teach the Sahaba-i-Kiram, all of that reward goes to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Allah, how indebted, Ya Allah, the Sahaba were to others, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and how indebted we are. It had it not been, Ya Allah, for the generosity, Ya Allah, and for that investment of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, we would not have been able to benefit to the extent that we are benefiting, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, such, Ya Allah, as they say, Ya Allah, business astuteness, Ya Allah, that a person is intelligent and makes the correct investments, Ya Allah. The best investment is the investment of the hereafter, Ya Allah. Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, you're well away, Ya Allah, all the good desires and aspirations of each and every individual who has raised his or her hand before you, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the good desires and aspirations, Ya Allah. Whatever challenge, difficulty, sickness they are going through, Ya Allah, alleviate it, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nasaluka min kulli khayr. ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.